You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Okay, welcome to the show. It is Unsportsmanlike here on ESPN Radio, ESPN2, Sirius XM 80, all of our great ESPN stations across the country, and the ESPN app. We are presented by Progressive Insurance, along with Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you. CC back with us later in the week, hopefully tomorrow. And Iowa gets a huge win last night. Not easy in the women's tournament, which we will get to in a second. Smalls, good morning.
Good morning, Evan. How are you?
Uh-oh, side eye back.
I know. It's just the placement of the studio today without CeCe here.
Although I can't make fun of your side eyeing because I'm seeing things, I've realized.
You are.
Would you like to explain? I had a terrible moment this morning. Go ahead.
So where our studio is here in New York City, we're off a pier. We're literally on the water here at the South Seaport. It's a beautiful location. But we come in the morning and we have to walk along the pier, but it's dark outside. It's really dark. It's 4 o'clock in the morning, 5 o'clock in the morning. And I walked in with Evan this morning and he looks up and goes, "What's that guy doing? Fishing?" And I go, "What are you talking about?" And I looked around and there's no one else on the pier except for me, Evan, and our security guard, Chanel. And I'm like, "What are you talking about? You saw a man, you hallucinated a man fishing on the pier."
It was really weird. I was convinced there was a guy fishing in front of us this morning and there was no one there.
No one.
And like my protective instincts kicked in of like, "Hey, Smalls, back off a little bit. Like, let me go first. Like, I'm some tough guy here."
You're going to take on the fisherman?
Yeah, it's me versus the fisherman. I don't, he's got the fishing rod and the hooks, and it's me in my pink sweatshirt against the fisherman.
He's going to make you chum, am I right?
What? What did you just
chum
say? Okay.
You know, that's what you used to fish, Evan?
No, I don't.
Have you ever been fishing?
Yeah, a couple of times.
Okay.
I actually like fishing.
Chum is what you put in the water.
Yeah. Well, there was no fisherman. There was not even a person.
No.
There was not even a fishing rod.
I'm a little concerned about you this morning, I got to be honest.
I was concerned too. I'm like, wow, what is happening to me? That was terrible that I saw a fisherman this morning that wasn't there. Now, there have been fishermen at that pier in general.
Yes, but not today. Not today, Evan.
I was trying to be such a good teammate. Like, all right, I got this, guys. Let me go in there in case this fisherman is going to turn the fishing rod around on us. Yeah, interesting morning to start. Anyway. Well,
thank you, by the way, for your protectiveness.
I protected you against the ghost.
I appreciate it.
I had your back against somebody that wasn't there this morning. Anyway, Iowa beats West Virginia last night, 64-54. We got a lot to get to today, Smalls.
Yes, we do.
Ohtani spoke yesterday, which we will get to. That's not the only gambling incident.
No.
Around sports right now, as now the NBA is like, "Hey, let us get involved here, baseball. We need to find a way in." But Caitlin Clark and the Iowa Hawkeyes last night, they get to the Sweet 16, her final home game. Not easy. This was a tough matchup for Caitlin Clark and Iowa. They win by 10 points. She, in her scoring of, 32 last night, has set the record for most points in an NCAA women's season of 1,113. She passes Kelsey Plum from 2016-17, and she breaks yet another record. But again, not easy. Her final home game for Iowa last night.
Yes, it was a battle for sure. And as we heard coming into the segment, Evan, her after the game saying that that might have been a more satisfying win for Iowa to be able to pull it out after such adversity throughout the game. But you talk about putting her performance into perspective. You gave the historical perspective. It was Caitlin Clark's seventh game in her career where she scored at least half of Iowa's points, which is the fourth time it's happened this season. And it's the second time she's done that in the NCAA tournament. She did it once last year in the Final Four versus South Carolina. But it's the seventh game in her career, Evan, where she scored at least half of the points for her team. She is just so dominant. And the fact that her team was struggling and they had to really battle this one out, She stepped up. She rose to the occasion again, and that's what greatness is.
Here's the other part of this. She is great. You're right. I don't know that we could look at this team and be like, oh, my God, they're the best team. Like, South Carolina
She's
is,
carrying them, obviously.
Yes. Like, I don't know that we can – I don't know that it is fair to hold this against her if they don't go to the Final Four or they don't go to the title game or they don't win it all. She is individually maybe the greatest player we've ever seen, but as a team – South Carolina looks unstoppable. USC looks better. Paige Beckers and UConn had a big win last night. Like, I understand what the narrative's going to be if they don't win at all. I'm just preemptively telling you, I don't know that it's fair.
She's the best player in the game currently. She might not be on the best team, and the best team usually wins. We expect her to be able to, like she did last night, quite literally carry her team to victory because of her greatness. But you're right. I don't think that if it doesn't happen for her this season and it's the one thing that's omitted from her collegiate resume, that we should diminish what she's done or look at that as if it's somehow a gap in the resume, because she can't do it all by herself for the entirety of this tournament, even though she did a lot last night to help her team win.
It was not easy, and she talked about it, she being Caitlin Clark, after the game, one of the hardest tournament games she's ever played.
To be honest, like, looking back on our journey last year, to me, this is like one of the hardest rounds in the NCAA tournament. Everybody's really good. You're expected to win. You're on your home court. We have all the pressure in the world. They have absolutely nothing to lose to come in here and upset us. And so I think our group was never flustered by any means when they went and tied it up. Yes, we had so many opportunities tonight where we got to a 10-point lead, a 7-point lead, and we couldn't figure out a way to extend it. And honestly, we just didn't shoot the ball very well. We just didn't make shots. West Virginia is, you know, a really good basketball team, and we found a way to win. We changed up our defenses. We got big rebounds when it mattered. We made big free throws. There's a lot of positive to take away from this when maybe we didn't even play our best basketball or didn't look as pretty. I think that's more fulfilling of a win for us than, you know, going out there and winning by 30 points.
Well, they did win, and obviously they advanced now. And one of the other games last night to mention that USC, another one seed, won last night over Kansas, and their star freshman, Juju Watkins, had 28 points, 11 rebounds, 5 assists in this game, coming off her first-round game where she had 23, 5, and 4. She has been unbelievable. She is unbelievable. She's 18 years old. She's a 6'2" freshman out of Los Angeles. And here's where Smalls, this whole thing drives me crazy. This is why we've asked the question about the popularity of women's basketball, right? And it feels bigger right now on the college level than literally any time in my lifetime. I don't know how you feel, but okay. So we're both in agreement that in our lifetime, we have never felt like women's college basketball was this important, this relevant, and this star-studded. Yet, where do they go with this? Because I don't believe the WNBA is truly going to capitalize on all of this, because that's the next level. If you had the equivalent of Juju Watkins on the men's side, that player, whomever he would be, after the season would say, thank you so much, USC. You know, I'm with you for life, but now I'm going to the NBA. And we would say, well, of course you're going to the NBA, because guess what you could do? You can go back to college at any given point. You can't go back to professional basketball.
Correct.
That runs out. Schooling does not. Well, there is a rule in the WNBA, Rule 17. Thank you, Nuno, our producer, who found this. The league requires domestic draft entrants to be at least 22 years old during a year in which the draft takes place and to have no remaining college eligibility or to renounce any future college eligibility. International draftees must be at least 20 years old during the time in which the draft takes place. Juju Watkins is arguably, along with Caitlin Clark, the best player in the country. She has to go to college. Let me rephrase. She has to play at USC for 3 more years.
Mm-hmm.
How is that fair?
From a business standpoint, it's probably not. She should be able to go to the WNBA earlier in her career if she chooses, the way that they are in other arenas of collegiate sports. However, I think it's actually great for the WNBA. I know you disagree, but I think having these women play that long in college and having us watch them grow up and watch them become these players, throughout that time, we get emotionally invested in them. And so then when they go to the WNBA, we are already locked into these players and we're following along with their careers. The fact that Caitlin Clark is going to go to the WNBA and people are going to want to come see her, that's in large part because they got such a body of work of her in college. And when I think about the way the NBA is now, we know a lot of these guys when they get to the league, we didn't necessarily know them in college. Conversely, in the NFL, we've watched a lot of these guys on the big stage in college. They have that brand recognition, and we follow it into the NFL, which I think is beneficial for the professional sport.
But right, you're right in terms of, okay, we need to build the brand. But when the sport on the women's side in college basketball is getting as big as it's getting, it's doing that for us. The WNBA needs to create a structure where players' salary can increase and they're making more, which means more fan support. But how do you get more fan support? Having more stars. If Juju Watkins and Caitlin Clark were in the WNBA, and Caitlin Clark is going to be, but if Watkins and Clark and Sabrina Ionescu, who's already there, the more stars we have, okay, the tickets are going to, I'm making this up, $50? Well, now they're $55. And guess what? In 2 years, they're $60. And all of a sudden, incrementally, you get bigger and bigger, then, like, it's going to create better salaries, better piece of the pie, better endorsement deals. And Juju Watkins, can she get more famous and popular over the next 3 years? Maybe.
I think so.
But she could also go the other way. God forbid she gets hurt. God forbid the sport is not as popular as it is right now because Caitlin Clark and Angel Reese and others bring in attention to the sport where we notice Juju Watkins. WNBA needs to create a more welcoming environment for these young women to enter in and then go back to school if they so choose. Again, college doesn't run out, right? Basketball runs out.
I understand where you're coming from a business perspective here, but I'm thinking about the vitality of both leagues and how I think it's more beneficial for these stars to rise in college and for us to continuously consume them at the collegiate level and then carry that fandom over to the professional ranks. I think it's beneficial that way.
All right, coming up, Shohei Ohtani spoke yesterday.
He did.
Did he say enough? Unsportsmanlike is presented by Progressive Insurance. For a job you'll love, visit progressive.com/careers. Smalls and I going fishing. Coming up, it's Unsportsmanlike on ESPN Radio, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Shohei Ohtani, amidst all of the gambling controversy, met the media yesterday. He did not take questions, but he did make statements. Smalls, let's go through some of this because this was must-watch and listen-to television yesterday. Shout-out to Kevin Nagandi. I'm watching him on SportsCenter go through this. It was excellent last night. Starting off, the one thing that you wanted, Smalls, you said you needed a direct denial of one thing from Ohtani, and you got it about never betting on baseball.
So I never bet on baseball or any other sports, or never have asked somebody to do it on my behalf. And I have never went through a bookmaker to bet on sports. Up until a couple of days ago, I didn't know that this was happening. Just to kind of just go over the result, in conclusion, Ipe has been stealing money from my account and has told lies.
Okay, so that's the direct denial. He also gave the information as to what was going on with his interpreter, keeping information from him on gambling.
So Ippei never revealed to me that there was this media inquiry, and to the representatives in my camp, Ippei told to the media and to my representatives that I, you know, on behalf of a friend, paid off debt.
でその翌日にさらに尋問で一平さんは、僕たちの代理人に対して、借金は自分のもの。
Upon further questioning, it was revealed that it was actually in fact Ippei who had who was in debt.
まあ肩代わり
And told my representatives that I was paying off those debts.
そしてこれらは全く、全てが嘘だったという。
And this all of this has been a complete lie.
Okay, Smalls, what did you hear yesterday?
I heard, as you mentioned, a direct denial that Shohei Ohtani has ever personally bet on baseball or other sports, which is something I needed to hear from him. I needed him to say, this is not something that I have ever done, point blank, period. But, Evan, I walked away from that presser yesterday, again, having more questions than answers.
Really?
How did the translator get access to your bank account? How did you not notice multiple $100,000 chunks being taken out of your bank account? He addressed some things while certainly leaving the door open for other speculation as to how this was able to happen.
Yeah, maybe I'm just really, really naive. I heard a lot of what he said yesterday, and I do want to believe him. Right? I want to believe the good in people, right? Like, and we're going to do a story about Jonte Porter, of the Raptors. Mm-hmm. That one's a little harder to believe, I'm going to be honest.
A little bit.
But like, you want to believe this is true. But I had moments yesterday of flashbacks. If you remember when Ryan Braun of the Milwaukee Brewers got up there in Arizona and he was wearing that really nice sweater, a blue sweater. It was a tremendous sweater. I think I bought the sweater after. I'm not kidding. Great sweater. But he's getting up there and he's denying all the steroid stuff. And then it was all true. And he was talking about the FedEx guy and the guy who was delivering the urine samples with the drugs and everything like that. And he was lying about the whole thing.
Big time lying.
And so, like, that started playing in my mind of, like, wait, why am I believing or not believing? Why don't I just actually, and I know we're not supposed to do this in sports talk radio, not take sides, but why don't I not take sides? Why don't I just sit here and let all the information play itself out? And, like, I found myself saying, he's denying it. The guy stole money from him. How could that not be the case? And then I'm thinking about Ryan Braun. I'm like, well, that's why that's not the case. So far, the information we have in front of us is Shohei Ohtani with a full-fledged denial. Mm-hmm. What happens next is the full-fledged investigation from Major League Baseball and the feds as to what happened here. But I don't think there's gray area. He denied everything, but you brought up an interesting point. He didn't actually get into how the guy got his bank account information.
How did he get your bank account information? How did you not realize that $4.5 million was missing from your account? And how did you not know about this until the team meeting the other day? If this is someone who is so entrenched in your life and was one of your best friends, how did you not realize that he was going through this and there was investigations that were happening and it had to do with a huge sum of money that was taken directly from your bank account?
Do you think most people out there sat there and watched that and listened to it yesterday and believed him?
No, I don't think many people did.
Like, so if we open it up for calls on this, like, your takeaway from the Ohtani presser was what? At 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. You're telling me most people are going to say, I need more? I need more information?
Yes. I think more people, because of situations like you just pointed out with Ryan Braun, in sports we've had a lot of denials from athletes about various situations that have consequences, and it turns out that they were being less than truthful.
Yeah, so then what we need from people is not whether you believe him or not, because we're not going to get into slander on this. We're not going to get into accusations.
He's innocent until proven guilty.
Right. What? Enough information or more information? Like, I felt like I had enough information yesterday. Now you're making me think, okay, I need more information.
So I'm just not going to take someone who's already been involved in a situation where we have found untruths, where we have found that there has been deception in this and the story has changed. I'm not taking any person's word in this, whether it's Ohtani or Mizuhara, the interpreter, I'm waiting until baseball's investigation is done and the federal investigation is done, because that's when the facts will come to light. Why am I just supposed to believe you when you say that you had nothing to do with this, even though there are still a lot of questions that I have answers to?
Because he directly denied what you wanted him to directly deny.
Right, but just because someone denies something publicly, Evan, does not mean that they're being truthful.
You're right, but I'm saying you and I sat here yesterday, and I asked you, what do you need to see later on tonight, meaning yesterday, and he gave you what you asked for, right?
He did.
But you need more information.
I do, and I firmly believe in innocent until proven guilty, and as I spoke about yesterday, I've really tried to think about myself in Shohei Ohtani's shoes, that I am not in my country. I am not in a position where I speak the language fully. And this is someone I was so close to and so reliant on and so trusting of. Could this be a situation where he could be vulnerable and be taken advantage of? And I totally believe that there are a lot of circumstances involved in that situation where Shohei Ohtani could have been susceptible to this. But that does not negate the fact that he did not answer some pretty important questions.
He didn't answer any questions.
Well, I mean, but about how he was able to access the account and how he didn't know that this was missing. What about the bank? Was there any checks and balances with the bank? Because I can tell you what, Evan, if you stole $4.5 million from me that I don't have, and the bank didn't call me up saying, you want to wire hundreds of thousands of dollars to this person, we just want to make sure that this is you. I mean, when I travel internationally, my bank is calling me just to make sure that the charges are okay. And I certainly, it's not $4.5 million that I'm you know, in total wiring to someone. So I have questions about the logistics of this. And until those details are proven to be in alignment with what Shohei Ohtani is telling me, I'm just going to sit back and wait for the information.
888-SAY-ESPN is your telephone number to join the show. Yesterday with Ohtani, did you get enough information or you need more information? We're not here to say telling the truth or not, because we don't know the answers. It's enough information or more information. Michelle in Maryland, watching on ESPN2, joins us. What's up, Michelle?
Hey, good morning, Evan. How are you?
Morning, Michelle.
Yes, I just want to say that I don't need any more information. Shohei Ohtani spoke from the heart. He did not have a script in front of him. It appears now that he has a credible interpreter. And just because A-Rod and people like that and Ryan Braun lied about, you know, steroids, which was really big around that time, you can all have a financial advisor that is moving money from your account and you know nothing about it, especially if you're making the millions that Shohei Ohtani is making. So I think it could be possible that he did not know this was transpiring.
Yeah, well, thank you for the phone call. I just to be fair, I do think he had a statement in front of him, which is totally fine. You're allowed to have papers in front of you when you're making a, like, that was a legal statement he was making.
And I'm sure the Dodgers and his team wanted to make sure that he was protected and had things just in case he got nervous or forgot what he wanted to say.
Absolutely right. The other thing that needs to be pointed out, so he did have the new interpreter. Let's talk about this person for a second. This is a person, and I didn't know this, Kevin Negandhi brought this up on SportsCenter, that was with the Dodgers and has been with the Dodgers. So this is the Dodgers guy. They used him for other players over the course of time, and I believe he has other roles within the organization. So this is a credible Dodgers employee, which makes you realize when Ohtani got there, Ohtani likely requested the other guy, the crook, alleged crook, to be with him.
Because that's who he's been
with. That's been his guy.
Yes.
That's been the guy that he has trust with, the blind faith in.
Yes.
It's an interesting spin because you don't necessarily think about, like, the Dodgers have had other international players that they would need translators for over the course of time. I believe this guy was the translator for Kenta Maeda, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that, but I think that's what it was. And so their employee that they trusted, they said, hey, you're going to have to back off a little bit. He's got his own guy. The own guy allegedly stole $4.5 million from him. And just when you thought that was the only gambling story in sports, just wait. There's more, and it's weirder. We'll get to that next. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Yeah, because the Ohtani story wasn't enough for gambling.
Oh, I know.
But wait, there's more. It's Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance. CC back with us later in the week, along with Michelle Smallman, Evan Cohen with you. So, Jonte Porter is a player on the Toronto Raptors. His brother is more well-known than he is, Michael Porter Jr. of the world champion Denver Nuggets. Mm-hmm. So Jonte Porter is now the subject of investigation by the NBA per Adrian Wojnarowski, Brian Windhorst, and David Purdom, our ESPN betting analyst. And the reason why? Purdom explained yesterday, Amber and Ian, 7 p. to 10 p. Eastern here on ESPN Radio.
These irregularities were on prop bets involving Porter, and those are over under on amount of points he scores in the game or number of rebounds, so things like that. And he being a low profile player, if there is a significant rise in interest in betting on him, all of a sudden something kind of red flags go up at sports books. And that's kind of what happened here. There were two games, one in January and one in March, where sports books detected irregular betting interest on player props. People were coming in there wanting to bet lots of money on the under on his props. In both of those games, Porter left with playing less than 10 minutes. The first game, he cited a lingering eye injury. The second game, which was just last week, Thursday against the Kings, he said he had the flu. And in both of those games, sportsbooks said they took a lot of unusual betting interest on his player props.
Fascinating. Yes. And I don't mean this in a disrespectful way. I would say 90%+ of the audience probably never heard of Jonte Porter prior to this story, which means when you have significant betting coming in on a player that is not LeBron James or Giannis or Jokic or Tatum or any of the super, or his brother for that matter, Michael Porter Jr.,
yes,
or any of the superstar, star, or starters in this league, this is a guy that's a two-way player, which basically means, for those who are unaware, you have a contract simultaneously with the NBA team and its G League team, and there's a certain amount of games you could play for the NBA because you go back and forth. It's a developmental contract. Unders came in. He played less than 10 minutes in each of them, left one game with an eye injury, the other game with a flu or sickness, whatever it is. This is as suspicious as could be. I'm not accusing Smalls. I'm just saying this is unbelievably suspicious.
It is incredibly suspicious with the activity that was happening with bets surrounding Porter and then the subsequent results. Not only are the sports books flagging stuff like this, Evan, but sports betting is monitored by dedicated personnel from each NBA team. They have data scientists that are focused on different anomalies that are happening in sports betting and possible integrity issues, and they're working with third-party integrity monitors. So these players, when they're told you can't do all of this stuff, they have checks and balances, not only with just the sports book, but the NBA is monitoring this stuff as well. So if, in fact, Porter was involved in this in some way, shape, or form, I don't know how he thought he was going to get away with something like this when you have all of these people that are making sure that this stuff is up to snuff, essentially, and that there's no integrity issues with betting and sports.
Let me be real clear when I say this. I think this is a phenomenal thing for the NBA.
Why?
I think this is excellent because this was bound to happen. At some point, this was bound to happen, where a player was going to try to take advantage of the opportunities that he would have to be able to bet on games or have friends bet on prop bets, whatever it may be.
Have influence over the results.
And what this tells everyone is that if you do it, we're going to notice it. If you do it, we're going to find out. If you do it, we have people that are going to tell us immediately. When Calvin Ridley, now of the Titans, had his situation with gambling with the Atlanta Falcons and got suspended on the 17 parlay or whatever it was, whoever it is that he bet with notified the NFL immediately. Irregularities are spotted absolutely immediately. As crazy as this may sound, the gambling industry has no choice but to be clean. If it's legal, it has no choice but to be clean, because there are so many people that want to shut it down and want to tell you it's not clean, that specifically, whether it's ESPN Bet or DraftKings or FanDuel or any of the sites that are out there, if they notice an irregularity around a random NBA player and betting unders and that guy on a prop bet, and that guy does not even stay in the game for a long period of time, it is their entire business if they don't actually notify authorities for that. So while I'm not suggesting it's good that an NBA player would gamble on a sport, obviously, or the sport and the game that he's playing in, I think it is great that the NBA could sit there and say, we have measures in place for that rogue player that if he allegedly may have gone rogue, we are going to find you. We're going to find you quickly. We're going to come down on you quickly, and you may never play again in this league. And if this is proven to be true, and Jontay Porter actually had involvement in this, and I'm not suggesting he did. I'm saying it's very suspicious. I'm not accusing. He will never play another game in the NBA. They will ban him for life, and message, to some extent, will be sent. It's like, you know, the NFL with concussions. All these years, they went unnoticed. In a way, a rise in number of concussion cases actually means the NFL is doing this right, and that you're noticing them and you're preventing them and you're making sure that those players don't go back in the game. The NBA and all sports have to realize when these things happen, if they are to happen, and noticing it right away, I think, Smalls, is a great thing for the sport.
It does send a warning shot to everyone else around the league, because players, as well as all league employees, are prohibited from betting on NBA bets, including prop bets, right? So violation of this policy could include fines, suspension, and possible termination of contracts. So you think if Porter is found to be involved in this in any way, shape, or form, done. Termination of contract,
done.
That they're going to take this
ban for life.
Most serious measure
for life.
To make a statement here.
Ban for life. You don't?
I think it would be smart of them to do that. You're right, to set the standard.
And sorry, offense, Jontay Porter, you're not good enough for them to think otherwise.
It's not as if this happened to a marquee name.
Yeah, I don't even want to suggest a marquee name would have done this.
Same thing, I didn't want to throw anyone out there.
Right, so let's say, name that we could say right now that you would all know if he bet on sports or bet on the NBA.
How about this? It's not the same as what Shohei Ohtani is being accused of in baseball.
Yeah,
the star power is not the same.
Exactly right. It is a lot harder for Major League Baseball to sit here and investigate knowing, oh boy, if we find this out that allegedly, possibly he had anything hypothetically to do with this, we're going to have no choice but to Pete Rose him. That's a nightmare for this sport. An absolute nightmare.
It would be so bad.
I almost wonder, as crazy as this sounds, if Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, wants this to be true. Because then you can ban him. Then you can say, look, we are going to find you and ban you for life if you do this. If you bet over-unders on basketball, if you are going to influence any of this in any way, shape, or form, it is easy for us to figure it out because we are actually tied in legally to all of these different gambling companies, because they know if they have illegal activities, they are going to be shut down forever. And billions on the line for these companies.
Absolutely. This only works if people who are going to place these bets and that are actively wagering think that everything is up to code and that the integrity of each league and the integrity of this business is intact. Because if you thought that people were influencing the results, why would you gamble? So it puts all of this under a cloud of suspicion and makes it more of a fragile entity, which is the exact opposite of what sports wants and what the betting world wants. But I think you're right in that if this is found out to be true, that they should approach this with the most severe punishment possible, because that tells everyone else around the league, players included, here's a tangible example of what is going to happen if you mess with us or try to push us on this. You are going to be out of this game forever. It's a privilege to play in this league, and if you violate this rule, which is set in stone, you are not going to be able to play anymore.
And think about this. tonight, I believe, we have on ESPN the Lakers and the Bucks, if I'm not mistaken. That is a game that everyone's going to want to keep eyes on, right? Even if LeBron doesn't play. We're talking about a March 20th game between the Sacramento Kings and Toronto Raptors with Jontay Porter. They're going to find you if you do things like this. Mm-hmm. And as crazy as it may sound to some people, because we all grew up, people around our age, Smalls, thinking like, oh, gambling is like dirty and icky. And I'm not saying it hasn't been, but the legalization of it has made ESPN Bet, DraftKings, FanDuel, whomever, have no choice but to be as legal, moral, and have the integrity that these businesses have more than most walks of life. They don't have a choice. If some other company had some sort of fraud going on, if a credit card company had fraud going on with one of the people using the credit card, Visa doesn't shut down, right? It just doesn't, like, but if there's fraud going on with one of these gambling sites and it's not caught, or it's caught and then kind of shooed to the side, the entire business goes down because people are looking to shut these businesses down.
Yeah.
For whatever ridiculous reason. If this is true, this guy is done for life. And I actually think this may be a good thing for the NBA because it proves, hey, and the Calvin Ridley thing for the NFL. If you do it, we're going to find you. We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
For the ones who get it done, Grainger offers high-quality supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as access to product specialists who have the knowledge and experience to answer your toughest questions. Plus, their commitment to being your safety partner can help you keep your facility safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships. Your skills. Your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
This is the Unsportsmanlike Podcast on ESPN Radio.
Smalls, with these two gambling scandals going on right now, yes, it's hard for me to spin it in a way for baseball. Like, hey, this is a good thing. We can learn from this, and we could all get better as a result of this. I'm not saying they can't, but that's a hard spin. With the NBA with Jontay Porter, if this is true, if there was any arrangement for this player on the Toronto Raptors to bet the unders on his own games, or have somebody bet the unders for his own games, and then they ban him, there is a level of message sent, you can't do this, we are going to actually use this to our advantage. I could see it more for basketball than I can baseball. Am I nuts?
Yeah.
Okay.
But right. I get what you're saying, but it's essentially the same thing, different tones to both of these situations with Otani and Porter. But basically you're saying because Porter isn't a star to the level of Shohei Otani, it's beneficial for basketball, whereas for baseball, because he is the best player in the game and an international face of the game, it's a disaster for them.
Yeah.
So this is all about level of success and fame.
Well, doesn't that matter?
I agree that it does, but if this were a middle reliever that barely made the team that you had never heard about before that was doing this in baseball, you would then think that that was if they had an interpreter that was stealing money for them, the exact same situation mm-hmm. as Otani. Actually, we probably wouldn't even talk about it. You know, we're talking about that in baseball to the level with which we are because Shohei Ohtani is such a star.
888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776 is your telephone number to join the show. People want to weigh in, understandably, on what we're seeing in sports now with gambling. We knew this was going to happen at some point, right? When gambling is so easy and legal, people were going to make mistakes, but the regulation of it at least is being noticed. People are not getting away with this stuff, at least to our, and I'm probably naive in that some people probably are, but the more cases that are found would hopefully discourage others from doing it if you're not allowed within your business, which sports you're not allowed, to actually gamble. John in Florida listening on Sirius XM 80. What's up, John?
It's going on with you, man.
John.
Hey, check it out. Like, I understand, like, you know, the significance is different when it comes to names, but if one person gets caught, you should get the same penalty as the next, regardless of your name, big or not. You know what I'm saying? That's what's wrong with the world now, because your name bigger than mine, you know, you get a pass and I don't. You know what I'm saying? And just to hear you say that, you know what I'm saying? That ain't right. That didn't settle with me. But if you,
I'm not saying. John. I'm not saying that Shohei is getting a pass. What I'm saying is, if we're gonna be logical, what is harder to do? Major League Baseball banning Shohei Ohtani, if allegedly had anything to do with this, or the NBA banning Jontay Porter?
Yeah, I don't watch baseball anyway, so I couldn't tell you who Shohei Ohtani is. But
well, he may be somebody you want
to know. At the end of the day, man, fair is fair, right is right. If you're going to do, you know what I'm saying? If you're going to do the same, be fair. That's all I'm saying.
I understand where you're coming from, and thanks for the call. Yes, I get it. But it's just unrealistic to think that's going to happen. But if Shohei Ohtani did bet on sports and bet on baseball and had that denial yesterday and it was him and not the interpreter, yeah, he should be banned.
You think that they'll ban him for life?
That's different. You asked what they are going to do. I'm saying what they should. Well, I'll flip it to you. You've covered baseball longer than I had.
Banning him for life is bad for business. So while I think that they would certainly take this very seriously because there's a lot of money at stake and the integrity of the game is at stake. The integrity of gambling is at stake here. If, in fact, Shohei Ohtani was found to be guilty of what he's allegedly being accused of, you know, all those legalities. It's bad for baseball if Shohei Ohtani is not a part of it. So while I think with other players they might ban him, I think if he were to be found guilty, they would certainly punish him, but I don't think it would be the end of his Major League Baseball career.
Hank in Virginia listening on 94.1. What's up, Hank?
Man, when I hear y'all talk like this, like he can't ban Ohtani because it's bad for baseball, and then you ban the hit leader in baseball, career hit leader, I don't get that concept. He should be suspended right now until the investigation is over with, as far as I'm concerned.
Hold on. Hank. Let me just understand something. So you want Ohtani off of the denial yesterday where he was like dead set, I did not do this. It was stolen from me. I had nothing to do with this. You want baseball to suspend him right now?
Well, what do you think he's going to say? I'm going to give you an example. I'm a Cowboys fan, mm-hmm. right? And our quarterback keeps choking in games. What do you think our players on his team are going to say about him when they're interviewed? They're going to say, oh, he's a great leader, and blah, 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 blah. What do you think Ohtani's going to get on the phone and say? Oh, you know what? You got me. I bet on baseball. And this is part of the reason why I quit watching baseball. You're going to suspend somebody like Pete Rose for gambling, but you want to try to allow the steroid users in? I've always said, and I'll say it one last time, the steroid users should sit out as long as Pete Rose sits out. If Pete Rose sits out 50 years or however long he's out before they put him in or never put him in, that's the same thing we should do with Ohtani and every steroid user.
Well,
he should be suspended until they get to the bottom of the investigation. Maybe that'll speed it up a little bit because they're just going to drag it out.
Maybe. And listen, and thanks for the phone call. There is that commissioner's list that we have in the NFL, right? Where in the NFL, you have a commissioner's list where we have seen players basically been told by the commissioner, Roger Goodell, you are not allowed to play right now. You are allowed to get paid, right? An NFL contract or a Major League Baseball contract requires payment, requires pay. It does not require play,
yeah.
right? A manager could decide, I am not going to play this player for literally 162 straight games. I don't want to play them. You still have to pay them. I would be uncomfortable doing that to Ohtani right now. It is an option, I would think, Smalls. Would you do that if you were Rob Manfred?
If I was Rob Manfred, no, because the investigation has to bear itself out, and he could very well be innocent. And by me removing Shohei Ohtani from my product, I am hurting myself. It's bad for my bottom line if I'm Rob Manfred. Now, if he is found to be complicit in this, then I think action will be taken very swiftly. But until then, why would I put myself at a deficit with my product and certain goals that I need to meet as the commissioner of baseball by removing the biggest star from the game?
Agreed. Josh in Indiana listening on 107.5. What's up, Josh?
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Morning.
I personally think I need to hear a lot more from Shohei. What I heard last night, it to me, sounded very scripted. I think he had a lot of involvement in it myself. I think him being so close with that interpreter, bringing him all the way over here, bringing him to the Angels, now to the Dodgers, I think they were closer than what it seems. I think he had a lot to do with this, and this could be very bad for baseball.
Well, it's going to be bad for baseball. It's going to be worse for Ohtani, and thanks for the phone call, because if he had that level of denial yesterday, which he did, right? Your critique is you wanted more information about how the interpreter got the bank information. You specifically, Smalls, yesterday got what you had asked for initially, which is I need a denial that I never bet on baseball.
Which I expected.
Right, and that you had had nothing to do with it. I mean, if he's not telling the truth, they're going to have a major problem on their hands in terms of whether or not he ever plays again in this sport.
It will be Rob Manfred's nightmare and probably the most important part of his legacy, wouldn't you say? I think if the biggest star in the game is found guilty of being involved in a gambling scandal, whatever Rob Manfred decides to do with this is how we're going to remember his tenure as the commissioner of baseball. Because whether he's done great stuff in the game prior or you don't like him for certain reasons, you always talk about that top line thing on the resume. This will be the biggest headline coming out of his tenure.
You know what we just proved here in a short amount of time? People could sit there and say, oh, well, everybody needs to be treated equally, everybody should be treated equally, but everybody should be treated fairly, right? In this specific case, we did this whole thing on Jonte Porter, where he may allegedly have been involved in some sort of fishiness with the unders in games, and everyone gravitates towards the star. Everyone's calling in about Ohtani, not Porter, right? So if the example, you could say, well, you shouldn't make an example out of one guy if you're not going to do it with the other guy. It's a lot easier, unfortunately, for the NBA to do it with Porter than it would be for baseball to do it with Ohtani.
Call me jaded, Evan, but having covered sports and worked in this business for a long time, I've seen talent be something that trumps over integrity or the right thing many times.
We're Unsportsmanlike, presented by Progressive Insurance.
Thanks for listening to the Unsportsmanlike podcast on ESPN Radio. You can listen to Unsportsmanlike live weekdays from 6 to 10 a.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and on SiriusXM Channel 80. You can also watch on ESPN2 and on ESPNU. Unsportsmanlike with Evan Canty and Michelle.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus. Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.